Good evening, everyone, and welcome to midweek. We have a special midweek service this week in that we're dealing with TCI, like I said earlier today, total coronavirus involvement. And a lot of people are, you know, somewhat worried about the situation, and we're trying to be a help tonight to that. And I wanted to show you up here on the screen that one of our TCI contacts, if I could have this up on the screen, actually just this afternoon, and yesterday, when I asked if he would be willing to help with the website for TCI, he actually put together a website for us for TCI and also the coronavirus updates. And I wanted to just show you the website that he put together. And I think he did a nice job. He put up the handout that we were handing out this afternoon in the community that has the Q code on it that takes people right to the coronavirus presentation that Dr. Nelly made with Doug Batchelor of the Amazing Facts Ministries that are in Roseville, California. So tonight I'm going to get out of the way here and Dr. Nelly's going to speak. And then we have also some demonstrations by Dr. Ramirez and Esther Juarez from the health program. And if there's any remaining time, of course, I'll say something. But let's have Dr. Nedley start out first, and let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father of Heaven, thank you today that we can come together in our midweek service and hopefully not only be drawn closer to you, but also be able to minister to those watching online tonight and those who will watch this program later, that there could be some very practical information that could be helpful in this time of fear that many are experiencing because of the coronavirus. So bless us to that end, and we come in Christ's name. Amen.
Good evening. So, of course, as many of you realize, the country is having a hard time talking about anything else except coronavirus. And tonight, there was an announcement made that travel from Europe has now been shut down for the next 30 days at least. And we have some of our staff over in Europe, so I guess they're not going to be back here. So you might see some more job openings open up. just kidding, but. The coronavirus, a little bit about this so we can have it in perspective. Coronavirus is a virus that cannot be completely contained like Ebola and SARS. And the reason for it is because healthy people can transmit it. How can healthy people transmit it? Because their immune systems are fighting it off, and while they're fighting it off, they have it, and they spread it. And so a lot of people are getting coronavirus, not from any connection from anyone that they know of, per se. It's just that people that were in those areas where coronavirus started actually were able to fight it off, didn't have any sickness, no one tested them to find out they were positive. And then they've passed it to others, and that's why it's in virtually every, you know, country, and it will go to every country, much like the flu does. the flu also, you can actually get the flu and never develop a single symptom from it. But you then pass it along to others. And so as a result of this, this idea that if we quarantine everybody, we'll stop this epidemic is not quite accurate. And so quarantines are not the solution, or even travel bans. Yes, you can, of course, contain it some on travel bans, but any of these travel bans are kind of, an exercise in futility as far as trying to prevent the spread of this virus. Now, there are things that can, of course, decrease the spread of it if the virus itself dies off due to it warming up like the flu virus does every year. When it gets warm and hot and there's a lot of sunlight. Sunlight, of course, is toxic to viruses. It's one of the reasons why the more you're outdoors in the sun, the better off you are. There's virtually no spread outside. It's more on the inside side of things. But we've seen a lot of people wanting to take action and maybe not quite understanding it completely. I know Harvard announced yesterday that they are no longer going to have any face-to-face classes after spring break, and everything is going to be online. And as soon as that happened, a lot of our own universities decided to follow Harvard's lead. So Kettering has announced that they're going to do this. La Sierra is dismissing all of their students as well. And so is Andrews, and I expect others to follow suit. And of course, we've even discussed if by law that we're not allowed to operate, how we would do that. And we can do that as well if we get to that point that we need to. But what isn't going around and what is not actually being broadcast is something far more important, and that is this virus, even though you might not be able to prevent yourself from getting it, you can actually have your immune system boost so that you won't get sick as a result of getting it. And how do we boost the immune system? It's called New Start. And New Start does a lot. Of course, this is why younger people are not dying of this, at the rates. There are some young people that have bad immune systems too. But young people do have better immune systems by and large. For those in the pediatric business, or pediatricians, you realize how much more quickly kids recover from bad infections than adults do, because their immune system tends to be better. And so in general, we're seeing this big trend that once you're, over 50 or so, particularly if you're on a typical American regimen over 50, your immune system is going to be not that good, and you're going to be at higher risk. But even an over 50-year-old can decrease their risk significantly. In fact, many people have stated, and I'll just state it as well, many people have stated it would actually be good if you have a healthy immune system to get exposed to the coronavirus because you would develop antibodies against it, and that would be even better than the vaccine that might come out a year from now. But people are freaking out that there's no vaccine, there's no antiviral per se, that's a prescription antiviral. Against this, there are antivirals available. We're going to talk about them today. This disease, and of course, we hope it doesn't come on the Weimar campus because of the fact that we do have a lot of elderly coming through the New Start program. And if they realize it's here and they don't have a healthy immune system, they're going to tend to decide to not come to the New Start program, which could enhance their immune system so that they actually are protected when they go home and contract it. But nonetheless, they're not necessarily thinking that far ahead of the situation. We'd have instituted some things that will help our immune system even here at Weimar. For instance, the cafeteria is no longer going to be serving any foods with sugar. They will also no longer be serving any food with any free oils. These are things that can suppress the immune system. And they had already prepared their meals for this week, so they asked to not have to do this until Monday. But you can still choose foods that don't have sugar and don't have free oils as you go through that line before Monday. But on Monday, you'll have to go off campus to suppress your immune system. You won't be able to suppress it on campus, at least going through the cafeteria. We've also instituted some things in regards to the line. Of course, you know that there is hand sanitizer at the beginning of that line, which we hope you use, or you wash your hands immediately before you're going to be touching your face. Because soap and water works very well as well. It doesn't have to be hand sanitizer. So a good soap and water cleanse can help out. Now there's a hand sanitizer at the end of the line as well. Why is there a hand sanitizer at the end? Because we're actually touching surfaces together as we are serving ourselves in the cafeteria line. And so after you're through, we ask that you do the hand sanitizer again. And so if you happen to get something on that. Now we are trying to, it's a little tough, but we are trying to get gloves so we can even do one better. We all just don gloves when we serve ourselves and throw our gloves away when you're at the end. And the cafeteria management is trying to be able to come up with those gloves. But as you realize, even toilet paper is in short supply at places today. And I couldn't quite figure out the toilet paper issue, but people, in fact, that may be a reason, a better reason to use hand sanitizers when you shake someone's hand, because if they're out of toilet paper, you don't know what's on that hand. But back to how we can protect ourselves with a New START. There are, let's go through the New START acronym, nutrition. What are the things that can help us nutritionally in boosting our immune system? Yeah, we already talked about no sugar and no free oils. But it's also high antioxidant foods. And for those of you that took Principles of Health, I'm sure you can name off the top 10 antioxidant fruits and the top 10 antioxidant vegetables. Okay, so anyone want to help us with this? Yeah, the top fruits are all berries. So blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, strawberries. The number one whole fruit that's not a berry is actually plums. But also you can see some of the others that are in the top 10. Oranges are in the top 10 as well up here. Red grapes are actually in the top 10. Kiwi is up in the top 10 as well. And then we have vegetables. Many of you are aware that garlic is the number one antioxidant vegetable, and it actually has antiviral activity itself. So when the garlic comes in contact with the virus, it can actually help you out there as well. But it's also going to help your immune system significantly. And the cruciferous vegetables, your Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and your greens, spinach, kale. There was kale on the line today, I noticed. At lunchtime, and so when I saw that kale, I made sure that I was going to participate in that dish. So things that are in the top 10, you want to be able to find and load up on. Then there can be some additional things that can be healthy that have been well proven in controlled studies. In fact, these have been randomized controlled trials. And of course, there aren't any randomized controlled trials yet on coronavirus. In fact, it was kind of interesting. I heard one of the famous news media people saying, if I were 20 years old, I would volunteer for the vaccine if they paid me $4,500 to get the vaccine. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, we don't want to test this on 20-year-olds. Because they're not going to get it anyways if they have a decent immune system. And so how are you going to do a comparison group? You're wanting the vaccine to be given to those whose immune system is not so good so that you try to get a comparison to see if the vaccine works or not. And that's going to be a much more difficult group to get healthy volunteers to go for it. But there is something called N-acetylcysteine, and I heard that it was up here. Here it is. I think it's in the Wee-Mart. Did you get this from the Wee-Mart? All right, you did get it from the Wee-Mart. And you'll see it at health food stores and pharmacies also as just NAC. N-acetylcysteine is a natural antioxidant that actually comes from the amino acid cysteine. And this, in a controlled trial, showed that if you take two of those a day, which is 1,200 milligrams, you will actually, if you come in contact with the flu virus, 3 out of 4 chance you will have 0 symptoms and develop antibodies to that flu virus. And it was a placebo-controlled trial, so the placebo didn't do very well at all. vast majority ended up getting the symptoms of the flu virus. And N-acetylcysteine being an antioxidant and raising glutathione levels, for those of you in the natural science program, you probably heard of glutathione. We can actually measure that in your bloodstream. And glutathione is something that is a potent antioxidant and also helps our immune system in a lot of ways. So N-acetylcysteine directly raises that glutathione level, and there's even some powerful effects that have been shown in vitro with NAC against the flu virus. Will it have that effect against the coronavirus? Most experts think so, because it has that effect against colds and other things. And it's very inexpensive to take. So 2 of those a day, and if you have a fairly healthy immune system, I'd even go to Europe. But I wouldn't be able to get back right now. Another thing, of course, and I mess up on this too. You know, when there's an epidemic going around and it's spread through hand contact, there are some times when my hand goes up to my face and I haven't immediately washed my hands beforehand. Instead of panicking with that, you can take a zinc lozenge. Zinc is actually toxic to these viruses on contact. And so if you think you might have had it in your mucous membrane, just pull out one of those zinc lozenges, and you don't want to you don't want to swallow it per se. You want to have it go around in your mouth. That's why it's in a lozenge area where it can come in contact with a virus that might be there in the mucous membrane. And that can also be very helpful. Another aspect, so that's nutrition. E, exercise. What type of exercise is best? Aerobic exercise, that's right. And I know we just opened up the gym, right? Did that just open up? Or is it not open up yet? It is open, okay. So we just opened up the gym. There is some aerobic exercise possibilities there, but I would recommend, if at all possible, do the aerobic exercise outdoors. There's some additional advantages. You can get the sunlight, you can get the fresh air, and those sorts of things. The W for water, of course, that's in regards to staying clean. But in addition to that, hydrotherapy is shown to be very immune-enhancing. And for those of you at the TCI event, that was the thing that Don read about in regards to an epidemic that was going around, and hydrotherapy actually stopped the disease from progressing. And that was diphtheria. But it also helps in regards to our immune system in fighting viruses and even preventing them from occurring. The type of hydrotherapy that's shown to be very beneficial is particularly the contrast baths, or contrast showers. So take your warm shower, get nice and warm, and then turn it all the way to cold.
How many times?
1 minute. And then go back to the hot. And do that a total of 3 cycles. Get nice and warm again. You don't have to time it until you're nice and warm. Put it back on the cold again for a minute. Do it even nice and warmer the third time, and then do the cold for a minute. And ending with the cold, actually, as you dry off, you are going to heat up your skin from the inside, and you're actually not going to get chilled. It actually is a powerful immune enhancer. In fact, there are some studies showing that those who do cold baths, that do it on a daily basis, virtually never get sick by these things that are going around. And so that's another immune enhancer. And then there's other ways you can do it if you actually have a disease like a pneumonia starting. And I think we're going to learn about how to do the fomentation aspect of things later if you're actually treating someone that is sick. And of course, I mentioned over 80% it is over 80% that are not going to get sick from this virus. They might get little cold symptoms or none at all. But the less than 20% who do get sick, what is their sickness? It's pneumonia. And so it's called a viral pneumonia. And what's the danger of having a viral pneumonia? Yeah, out of those that are getting pneumonia, that's where you see that 3% mortality rate or things like that. That's not a total mortality rate. We know the mortality rate for this is far less because it's only those real sick ones that are getting tested. And so when you look at mortality rates, once we find out how many healthy people are having this, we're going to find out the mortality rates are not too much different than the flu. I think they're probably going to be more than the flu, but maybe not. Maybe after we have everyone tested, we're going to find out that this disease is far more widespread than we thought it was even, and that the mortality rates are actually lower. So no one knows exactly what that's going to be. I'm assuming that it's going to be higher than the flu, and we also know it's higher transmission rate. The average person that has the flu transmits it to 1.3 other people. And with the coronavirus, if you get the coronavirus, the studies are showing they transmit it to 2.3 other people. So it's about double the transmission rate of the flu. And it may be a little higher mortality rate. But back to, we're on the New START acronym. Nutrition, exercise, water. What's next? Sunlight. We already mentioned that. That can help us two ways. Sunlight is antiviral, and it also helps us through what? Through vitamin D. And it also can help us through serotonin, through the eyes, which can help us to not panic about this disease. Serotonin can help you feel calm even though there's stress around you. And the more stressed out you get over this disease, the more it suppresses your immune system and the more likely you are to get it if you come in contact with it. That of course also overrides the last letter of the acronym, which is trust. If we actually have more trust of others around us, it will actually help our immune system. All right, back to tea. The first T, what is that?
Temperance.
What do we want to avoid that's going to suppress the immune system? Yeah, we want to avoid sugar, but also alcohol. Alcohol is a major immune suppressant. And in fact, it's well known, if you come in contact with a virus and you have alcohol on board, that virus replication rate goes crazy. And so we want to avoid alcohol. We want to avoid tobacco. In fact, this is one of the reasons why China, I think, had such a reason for it, because there's a lot of smokers over there in China. The air is not very fresh at all, and they're not really on the New START program. And I think their mortality rates were higher, their pneumonia rates were higher, because they didn't know about New START. And of course, alcohol can be a major issue over there as well. So no alcohol, no tobacco. Even smoking marijuana, those sorts of things are going to be caffeine. Out. Caffeine, we don't know if that's going to be caffeine can have other issues, but we don't know that it's an actual immune suppressant as far as this virus is concerned. So after tea, what's next?
Air.
That's the fresh air. And of course, fresh air is a major help in this endeavor in several ways. The R is
rest.
And that is getting adequate sleep and making sure that we're going to bed early. That's the best way of getting adequate sleep. And then the final T, trust. And trust in God and that's the beauty of living a Christian lifestyle in Him is, of course, we can only do that if we trust in God. But trusting in God, we know that everything gets filtered through Him first before it comes to us when we are His own. So that's an additional reason not to really stress out over this situation. And so I hope that's been helpful. I'll just see if there's any questions at this point in regards to this virus. You might ask, well, why are we not closing down here at Weimar? There's a couple of reasons. One is we've got New Start, and you've just learned how to prevent this. But secondly, we're a much smaller campus. There are significant advantages of being small. And these other universities, particularly Harvard and others, there's huge groups of people in small contained places. And here, you can't have huge groups of people in small contained places because we don't have huge groups of people on campus, period. And so with the smaller amount of students, and of course face-to-face is still the best way of learning, we are planning on continuing on with face-to-face. So we have no plans at this point of shutting you down and having you go somewhere else. Now, something might change if there's a huge outbreak of some sort in the dorm. Dorms are probably the place where this could be spread more easily than any other place. And so that's why we want you to take precautions and load up on a New Start. And what I wish would happen, and it can happen as we talk about this, is instead of the coronavirus going viral, New Start going viral would help the world significantly. Because not only would it help us against coronavirus, it would help us against virtually every infectious disease out there, as well as the other chronic diseases. And it could save far more lives than what coronavirus is taking if New Start became viral. And so I would do your part, now that you're at Weimar, to help in your communities and in your family and in your friend groups to help New Start go viral. And that can help the world significantly.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Nedley. Dr. Ramirez and Esther Waters are going to do some of the natural remedies, maybe focusing on the things that were not covered. So come forward, Dr. Ramirez. And Esther, if you are on the front row, you'll be nearby as well. I might mention for those of you maybe joining us the first time that Dr. Nedley is the president here at Weimar College and is a practicing physician in this community, privileges at the local hospital and works as an internist there and deals with infectious diseases and things like this for many years. So we're thankful for his experience. And Dr. Ramirez is also a health researcher, and he's going to be sharing some of the things that can boost immunity.
So then, one of the roles that the gifts that God gave us is called the immune system. And the immune system helps us to deal with all kinds of different things that attacked our body. And when we talked about disease, immune system is one of the main key things, because if we are not well in our immunity, not only the virus, bacteria can get us, but also things such as cancers and other things that are supposed to be keep unchecked with the immune system are being harmed. So it's important for us to keep our immune system in order. And one of the things that can help very much regarding this is your circulation. So I actually was certified on the New Start hydrotherapy side of things back in the year 2000. And I got the certificate from the state of California to teach hydrotherapy. And one of the principles in hydrotherapy that can help you improve your immunity has to do with your ability to control your temperature. So fever actually is beneficial to fight infections. That's the reason why when you are sick, you get a fever. And you know, the interesting thing is that when I was in medical school, I remember the lecturer was teaching about the importance of immune system and so forth. And they were telling us the fantastic thing that the fever does. You know, it fights the infection faster. It brings a lot of help from the reserves of your lymphocytes. They come out and start fighting the disease and so forth. And how disease takes place shorter because the immune system is fighting for you and so forth. So then I raised my hand and said, doctor, how come we remove the fever on the patients in the hospital? If you ever go to the hospital, you'll see that's what they do. As soon as somebody has fever, immediately they give medication to stop the fever. And I kind of got him off track. And he was like, wait, maybe, he said, maybe it's tradition. So the reason why they take it away is could be very well tradition. But fever is something good for you. So what we do, we use hydrotherapy to create artificial fever on the body. And in that way, as temperature increases, the body is able to fight the disease much more easier. So one of the things that we can do is to do what is called a Russian steam bath. Here, America is not in the culture of saunas and so forth. And if you go to places like Finland, you will see how very much they use that. That's the one what I wanted. So by using treatments like those, you are able to stop the problem. And the issue that we have is that it is quite the nasty problem that we are facing. I mean, stopping this virus is as simple as trying to stop this fish. It's quite simple. Look at that. Very, very simple. So this is exactly the problem. Things are increasing exponentially, and you have a bunch of people that have it, and you are not stopping it. So the problem with this virus has to do with its composition. This virus has those spike proteins, and those spike proteins will get stuck to different areas of your body. Depending what the virus attacks is what gets stuck. And these proteins actually get stuck to your lungs. So the problem there is that once they're way down there, there's a lot of trouble getting that virus out. So then In your lungs, you have this receptor called the ACE2. And you know, have you heard about the classic conspiracy theorist? They're like talking about, oh, you know, they invented it in the laboratory and they send it to infect everybody. Have you heard that story? That's fake news. That's not true. We know that because these same proteins are found on bats. This virus came from bats, from violating the principle of Leviticus of not eating those creatures. So once the virus goes inside your system, the code of the virus gets transmitted into the lung. The body, the virus hijacks your own mechanism and starts to create proteins in order to rebuild itself and starts to make copies of that virus, and your own body starts pumping out all these viruses all over the place. And people should stay home, but some people have this attitude. Normal people should stay in bed. But people with coronavirus, some of them say it, oh, spread it across the whole canvas, nice and even. And by going out and coughing this thing, it goes everywhere. And the problem with this is the following. Have you seen people with masks? See, that doesn't help you stop it. It stops the person spreading it, stop it. That's the one that should be wearing a mask. So one thing we need to do, we need to learn to wash our hands properly. So what you need to do, you need to make sure you cover these areas of your hand. You need to make sure you do your thumb. Most people don't do their thumbs. Make sure you wash your thumb. And when you close the faucet, you do it either with a paper or with your arm, because if not, you infect things. The issue is that this virus stays for 3 days on the surfaces. So somebody may have coughed, put their hand there, and 2 days later you touch there, you grab that. That's the reason why you need to wash your hands. Now some people say, well, doctor, I carry with me sanitizer. Well, it doesn't work that well. In this published study, they were showing up that if you have mucus, the mucus, actually, when you put the sanitizer doesn't get to the virus. You need to physically wash the hand to get it out. And one of the huge sources is in your own pocket, in the cell phone you're carrying there. That thing is loaded with germs, and so does your keyboard and your mouse. So that's the reason why when you affect yourself and you touch your face, you pass the virus. So one of the issues with sugar is that the more sugar you eat, the less your immune system works. And this is a study actually from Albert Sanchez, the one that I do research with here from New Start. Showing how the problem is not that the immune system, the number gets less, but rather the immune system cannot work properly with that. Another issue is psychoneuroimmunology. You need to learn to control your thinking, because if your thinking is not well, your immune system goes down. That's why, look at this study, spending time in nature, one of the best ways of improving your immunity, doing CBT, and exercise on a regular basis. This is my study in which we were showing how Bible study is actually the best way to deal with stress. In fact, Eastern meditation is as good as placebo. It's no good, according to our patient population, more than 6,000 people in our study. And we know that we need to use things such as nitric oxide. The same thing you use to open the arteries on people with atherosclerosis, nitric oxide, this is a published study, will stop the replication of the coronavirus. Where do you find that nitric oxide? Where do you buy it? Don't buy it. Get yourself greens, things like your kale and your celery and so forth. And also vitamin D. Vitamin D doesn't have anything magic, but if you have low vitamin D, that's going to affect your immunity. So finally, let's do one hydrotherapy treatment practically that we can do at home. It says in Inspire Pen, the Lord has taught us that great efficacy for healing lies in the proper use of water. These treatments should be given skillfully. So one of the things you could do is the hot and cold shower, but the issue with the hot and cold shower is that the body doesn't get enough warm. We want it to be even a little bit warmer than that. This is what we did when we went and visited the country of Finland. After going to the sauna bath, you can see there's snow there. There's my daughter. That lake there is 33 degrees. Okay. There's my other daughter. And you can see there is my wife. And that's me. Boom. As soon as you touch that water, man, your temperature goes back to normal. By the time I get out, you can see how everybody is running away. So we're going to simulate this with Esther's help. So I have one of my daughters, Talita, is going to come and help us demonstrate how you can do this at home.
Okay, so the point here is circulation, right? Mm-hmm. So the chair is supposed to be plastic because we don't want to burn, and she is supposed to be wearing like a bathing suit, something to touch her skin. So she's going to be relaxed, and we're going to wrap her with a sheet. So we have a sheet. And you need a source of... you need the steam. So I like to use the kettle. Some people put it under the chair, but it's so easy to burn with the steam. It's better to put it a little bit behind the chair. And this one has water. It's connected, so you need to use your imagination. So we're going to wrap her. She's wearing a bathing suit, and we're wrapping her with a sheet all around her body. So if you have a large person, you should. This is why I have this king-size sheet. We're going to combine this with a hot foot bath. So that's going to increase her temperature even more. So the water in the hot foot bath needs to be 100 degrees or 104. Okay. So all around... You're going to make a tent, basically. So you're covering the hot foot bath, and you're covering also the kettle in the back. And then on top of this, you can put a blanket and then a plastic. And she's going to be really hot. How long is she supposed to stay there? For the nursing students or health students? Remember? No more than 30 minutes. 20 is fine. With a blanket, I focus more on her back. And I like to use a towel to make sure that if the steam comes out of the tent, it's going to burn her face. The steam can really burn, like, really quick. So we're going to use this towel, like a scarf, just to cover, just to make sure she's... And what do we put on the head? Cold, because the brain doesn't like to be hot. So we keep this one with, this is going to have cold water. You keep it at hand so you can be switching the little towel on her head. So we're going to put a small towel on her head. Mm-hmm. And then you can use pins if you want to cover the, if you need to pin the sheets. And that's it. It's simple, but you have to stay with her all the time. So if you have someone helping you, it's better. Because if you have to go get something, and sometimes she gets, it's burning on my, where? You need to move the steam. You can open the tent a little bit and make sure, because this can burn in 1 second. So don't leave her alone and offer water to drink. If you give her warm tea, she's going to be even more hot. So you can give her tea. Would you like some tea? Because her hands are inside, you're going to have to offer the water or the tea. If she's really thirsty, you can check the pulse. Be careful. And if it's more than... let's say it's 140, what would you do? Yeah, you need to stop the treatment. That's way too... too fast. So, and after this, you have to do a cold friction to finish. Yes? So that's going to really stimulate and when you hear circulation, it's not just the blood circulation, it's your lymphatic system circulation. So lymphatic system you need to exercise so your muscles are pumping the lymph up and every time you move. So that's circulation. When you hear circulation, it's not just blood. It's also lymph. So after this, you know how to do friction. Friction is as simple as just, if it doesn't look red, that is not good friction. It has to get red. Really, really hard, okay? So we finish. Now the water on the foot bath, it has to stay. If it gets warm, it's gonna have a different effect. So you have to make sure the water in the hot foot bath is hot, because hot and warm is not the same, right? So if it goes down to 90, it's not hot anymore. It has to be between 100 and 104. 110, you're gonna start burning the skin. So we're good.
And just contraindications, just watch out. Somebody with heart problems, you know, you want to make sure you got a green light there from the doctor. Somebody very elderly, you need to be extremely careful. In fact, if it's very, very frail person, I mean, you should avoid doing this. Or somebody very, very young. So watch out for that. You know, make sure that... you're in communication with the patient at all times, so they tell you, you know, it's too hot, it's too cold, or whatever. In that way, you're able to apply that. And don't forget to start with a prayer so that the treatment is even more effective. And cold water at the feet at the end. Okay? Thank you very much.
Is there anybody here that has learned anything tonight? How many want to say a big thank you to Dr. Nedley, Dr. Ramirez, and Esther? And thank you very much for that. We have just a couple minutes, so I'll just share a couple minutes here. You know, as I was reading my Bible today, I remembered the text that there would be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. It says in Daniel chapter 12. And then in Luke 21, it says that people would be fainting for fear and foreboding about what's coming on the world. But in the same book, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And it also says, you did not receive the spirit that makes you a slave again to fear in Romans. So, somehow, in times of trouble and fear, God's people stand, and they will stand out as not being afraid. They'll be calm, and they'll be sharing the good news about God. This is something amazing that is promised. Part of the message is that at the end of time, God's people will fear God, which means to be satisfied with God, and they'll give him glory. And so giving him glory, how do you do that? We learn that tonight by listening to Dr. Nedley and listening to Dr. Ramirez as they talked about the best foods for our body to increase the immune system. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And this is actually part of a message that's delivered by one of the last three messages the Bible says people will get before Jesus comes, the first angel's message. So at the end of time, there's going to be a group of people that are helping share the message of good news in the midst of quite fearful times, and they will share this message of good news, and it'll be comprehensive, focusing on people's physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. Now, when Christ came, not just at the end of time, but when Christ came into history, he went about doing good, healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people, we're told in Matthew 4:23. He could have stayed in heaven. He could have said, you know what, I want to quarantine myself, a bunch of sick people down there. I'm going to stay up here. I'm going to eat some angel food cake. We're going to have the angels singing. But he didn't do that. And instead, he came down, and Isaiah 63 says, in their affliction, he was also afflicted. He was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with griefs. And he entered into the heart of the sickness and disease so that he could help heal the sickness and disease. And that's what the gospel prophet says about him. He says, by his stripes, we are what? Healed. Now, following his death and resurrection, you know, his followers adopted his mission and methods as well. They went about doing good and entering into disease and sickness. I looked up a plague in Roman history, in the Roman Empire, from 250 AD to 280 AD, there was an epidemic, and at its height, 5,000 people a day were dying in Italy, in the city of Rome. Interesting enough, right now, Italy has been, you know, quarantined, and there's been some sickness there, but back then there was 5,000 people dying a day. So what did the Christians do? Instead of fleeing Rome, a bunch of Christians from around other countries and areas, they ran to Rome to minister to the sick and dying, even as thousands of Roman citizens ran the other way. It's kind of a traffic jam, those running in and those running out. And this really got the respectful and almost reverential attention of many of the pagans, those that did not believe in Christ. And they actually, as a result of this, converted and became Christians. There are many other examples. I'll just fast forward to the 19th century with a cholera epidemic in England. And it was during this time that many people again fled the city, but not Charles Spurgeon, the famous Baptist expositor and preacher. He went, rather than staying in his church office, he went out and visited all the sick and gave them treatments. And again, drew the respectful attention to Christ who came to heal. Now, of course, members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, with this campus is a Seventh-day Adventist community, they've been involved in serving the sick for many years. In 1863, as Dr. Nellie mentioned, there was a diphtheria epidemic that spread across the United States and was killing many people, especially children. And some months later, it sure enough came from New York, it went to Ohio, it came to Battle Creek, it probably meant many other places, but it was in Battle Creek. And people were very nervous, are my children going to get sick? And in fact, they did. Two people whose children got sick were these people named James and Ellen White. They were prominent leaders in the Adventist movement. And later this year, in 1863, after this happened, actually Ellen White would receive a vision that talked about a lot of the things we learned tonight about what to do when you get sick. But they also read an article by this man who actually His name was Jackson. And he said, use a wash tub, use towels and sheets and blankets, cover people up just like Esther showed us, and diligently watch over them and do the treatment that you just learned and many other treatments. So they did this with their two children that were very sick, and it was very labor intensive, but guess what happened? Their children got better. They immediately started helping other people. They helped the Hall family, Moses Hall and his children. They helped other families. And then they said, wait a minute, we better teach everybody how to do this. And this was one of the first articles on what was called hydrotherapy that was shared with many people. Fast forward now to California, 1870. There are missionaries coming to California, and there's a smallpox epidemic that broke out in Bloomfield, California, not so far from Santa Rosa. There were people there. They wanted to have an evangelistic meeting. They had their tent, but they said, you can't set up tents. You can't have large meetings. In fact, you should probably leave. And so most of the people in the town left, at least all the ministers and all the doctors did. They didn't want to get sick, and so they left. And all the people were leaving the town. But one of the missionaries' name was John Loughborough, and he said, when I was 16 years old, God spared my life when I got sick from malaria. I'm going to stay and help these people. So he and Merritt Cornell and another Merritt Kellogg brother and then a Dr. Cornell, they stayed. They took care of all the people. They buried the ones that had died. They helped some recover, and they taught all who were not sick basically how to increase their immunity and how to not die from this. Guess what happened when the epidemic came to an end? They pitched their tent, everybody came to the tent, and they were very interested in what these men had to say and their wives who had helped them get through this difficult time. And many of them became Christians and joined the church. Throughout history, Christians like Christ have not shied away, but rather relentlessly and heroically ministered to the physical, emotional, and mental and spiritual needs of suffering humanity. One last example that I didn't mention this morning is the ministry of the Adventist Church during World War II, or it might have been the Korean War, where they had what was called Operation White Coat. How many of you have ever heard of Operation White Coat? And this was a time when Seventh Adventist soldiers who objected to killing people and would not carry arms but still wanted to help with the military effort said that they would be sort of guinea pigs or those that would be infected with various diseases that would be encountered either on the battlefield or with biological warfare. The White Coat operation contributed to development of vaccines for yellow fever, hepatitis, and investigational drugs for the Q fever, for Venezuelan equine encephalitis, Rift Valley fever, and tularemia. Operation White Kite also helped develop biological safety equipment, including hooded safety cabinets, decontamination procedures that we still use today, fermenters, incubators, centrifuges, and various things that we use in fighting disease today. How many think that's great to know? So again, they found a way to enter in and actually help. At the end of time, what did we learn in my final minute here? There will be a time of trouble such as never was. This is not that time, but there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. The Bible actually talks about seven last plagues that are very, very, you know, they're inflicting various numbers, a third of humanity and all different things that's talking about this. People will be fainting with fear and foreboding about what's coming. And how will God's people respond in this time? What will they do? I believe they, like the faithful Christians before them, will be willing to step forward to help, even during times of plague, pandemic, and persecution. Their love for people will lead them not to halt because of fear of death, For they believe that to live is Christ and to die is gain. They will step into the mess of sickness and disease, and they will be able to demonstrate their faith to a watching world. Rather than just asking, how can I stay healthy? How can I keep myself healthy? They will also ask, how can I help the sick recover? How can I help them stay healthy? They will be quick to help, and they will be slow to hide. How many of you want to be a Christian at the end of time and help in this way? So I want to just point you to one last thing before we pray, and that is you can go to our website. What's that URL that has that on it? It's TCI. TCI Weimar, or Weimar TCI. I think it's actually TCI Weimar. And you can watch that video. You can also go to our Facebook page and our Institute website, and there's the video by Dr. Nedley. And there's also a little guide called Amazing Steps to Optimize Your Health. And as a part of that guide, you can download an entire book that looks at the New START acronym for free if you get this little flyer. Actually, I could give you the text code, Healthy Life, and then Healthy Life, text the code Healthy Life to, or that's what you put in your text, Healthy Life to, here's the number, 40544. And if you text that, you can download an actual magazine that talks about the New START principles. Let's pray together as we close. Father in heaven, thank you for the expertise that you've given those on this campus who spent their life helping to treat and educate people concerning sickness and also health. And thank you also for your example of not just leaving humanity hanging, but entering into a hurting world and attempting to heal that hurting world to all who will listen to your loving instruction. Bless us as we leave this place, and bless those around the world who are struggling with sickness and disease related to what we've mentioned tonight or any other sickness or disease. May you direct people that can connect with them and help them and direct them not only to better health, but to eternal health. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for watching, and thank you so much for coming, and have a good evening. God bless you.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.